Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hub Arkish is standing by.
Hub Arkish.
I want to talk to Hub.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Talking Bears and the NFL with you.
Hey, what's up, Hub?
Hub, I love you, dude. I've listened to you for years and years.
Whenever you're on, I'm like, oh, wow, wait, great.
Hub, I wanted to get your input on this.
Hub Arkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
It's Friday. It's 10 o'clock. That means Hub belongs to you. He is at Hub underscore Arkish on Twitter, the Ameristar pregame host. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun this weekend. Arkish, Manley, and Kreutz. After the game, it's Arkish and Big Cat Williams. Connie's Pizza, 2373 South Archer. 50 cent wings, specially priced craft beers. And you can listen to Hub and Patrick and Olin from noon till kickoff. Hub and Big Cat Williams for 2 hours after the game. Hub joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Hub, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. We're good. Are you ready for your peeps?
Yes, I am.
Good. Let's get started in Libertyville with Steve on the score. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Listen, I think there's been a little bit of a... First of all, I think Trubisky is a lot better than what we've seen. I know what you guys are saying, and I saw a lot of that too. But if our offensive line is not blocking into the second level of backs, we're not going to be able to run. Last week, there was very poor blocking up front. No quarterback could have done any better with that poor blocking. Now,
yes, there are many quarterbacks that could have done better.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, but let's put it this way. I think he's going to be better than what
and,
you guys.
You know that Trubisky didn't play last game.
No, I know, I understand that, but I'm saying even if he had played, I don't think with that poor blocking, we would have been able to do any better than we did. We just did not block very well in that first part of that game. It was very, very.
All right. Do you have a question for Hub?
Hub, listen. What do you think about the fact that they did not play any preseason games? And the fact that may be having an effect on why they're getting such a slow start.
Well, Steve, I mean, I've been outspoken for a year and a half now about the fact that I don't think they should play a ton in the preseason, but I think everybody absolutely should get some game reps in the exhibition season. I think the old formula where you play maybe the first series in the first game, maybe the first two series in the second game, maybe the first half in the third, and then take off the fourth or take the first series again is the way to go. Over a period of time, you're getting reacclimated to game speed. All you have to do is look at their performances in the openers the last couple of weeks. And by the way, everybody held up the Rams as another great example. Well, things aren't going so well for them either at this point. That's just, I believe that. I can't think of another major sport which doesn't play far more exhibition games and doesn't play their regulars in almost every game. It would be unheard of not to have a pitcher or a hitter or a three-point shooter or a goalie not get some exhibition action. So, that's my opinion. I think that there's plenty of, proof out there that it's probably the better way to go. It's not the way Matt Nagy's gone the first 2 years. We'll see now that he realizes that it obviously has no impact on injuries. We'll see if he changes it up a little bit next year.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Watch the Chicago Wolves take on the Rockford Ice Hogs tonight on My 50 Chicago. Then get out to Allstate Arena tomorrow and Sunday to see the Wolves battle the Ice Hogs and the Milwaukee Admirals. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Here, after a week in absentia, is Frank at Oak Park with Hub on the score.
All right, thanks for filling in for me, guys. I'm going to pick up on that offensive line issue, and I think we know Hub's feelings about a lack of snaps in the preseason, but a lot of the Bear problems, of course, on offense can be traced to issues on the offensive line, particularly when blocking in the run game. I want to avoid hometown stupidity in how I look at this. the coaches and front office people you talk to from around the league, do they view this as a personnel deficiency, or instead do they track this to a scheme that's too easily read by opposing defenses?
Well, you know, Frank, it's hard for me to speak to what other, you know, coaches and GMs around the league would see. I think that in terms of personnel, talent, and quality, when I talk to, and we don't have this conversation as much now as we do with our sources during the offseason as these teams are being built, I think the perception is that the Bears have better than average offensive line talent. There is pretty much unanimous consent from the scouts and folks I've talked to that James Daniels, amongst the five remaining now, probably has the biggest upside, you know, that he's the guy who is going to be a star, that Cody Whitehair can be very good at the position. Massey and Leno are viewed as average to above average tackles. You know, that's kind of the overall reports I get when you consider everybody you talk to. Now, as far as what's going to happen at guard, I don't think, you know, Ted Larson was the only one limited in practice yesterday. That knee is obviously still a bit of an issue, and he is so valuable because he can play left, right, or center that I don't think plugging him in at right guard is the way to go, and I don't think it's what they're thinking. I think it's pretty obvious Rashad Coward is going to get a few weeks to prove, you know, that he's worth developing there, and if he shows that, great, and he has shown some signs that he might be. But I've been saying again since pretty much the summer OTAs and rookie stuff that Alex Barrs is very, very impressive. And I think there was always a plan to create space for these two at the position. That's why they redid Kyle's contract. And so, you know, what they can be, I don't know because we haven't seen him yet. So I guess the best answer is that it's average to above average talent. It's not the best, but it's certainly not talent that you can't win with, because if you talk to people about the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, you're going to get a pretty similar scouting report.
In Melrose Park, Vince is on the score with Hub. Hey, Vince.
Hello, boys. That's a good segue into my question in regards to the Chiefs. Is Andy Reid getting the correct praise or credit that he deserves in regards to his legacy? It seems like when the Chiefs are winning, Pat Mahomes is getting a lot of the praise, and when they start to struggle, that's when Andy Reid's name comes back up. I'm just wondering if he's actually getting the credit, you know, that his coach colleagues get when they're being successful. I'm just wondering, where does he actually stand in his coaching career?
Well, I think he's in a rough spot because he is, I mean, in terms of total years as a head coach, I believe only Belichick has more experience than he does. I don't know how he and Sean Payton match up off the top of my head, but and he gets a ton of credit as much for all of his tremendous accomplishments as well as his coaching tree and the coaches that he's developed. But he is never going to be mentioned with the greats until he wins a ring, you know, and that's, we talk about this with quarterbacks, it's even more so with coaches. And Andy Reid is one of the all-time great NFL coaches in the regular season. And then, you know, come playoff time and you know, trying to get to the Super Bowl, his teams have had their struggles. I'm not saying it's his fault, but that's the end result. And that if you get a sense that maybe he's not being revered enough, that would be why. You know, as far as criticism, I wasn't hearing any criticism of Andy Reid for what happened the last couple of weeks. There is obviously water cooler chatter this morning about whether Mahomes should have been running quarterback sneaks last night on a gimpy ankle. Well, he didn't damage the ankle. He damaged the knee. Mm-hmm. And if it is what we think it is, which was the dislocated kneecap, that's pretty unusual on a quarterback sneak. So, you know, you can challenge him all you want, but I'm not sure that criticism is fair.
Hey, Hub, while we're on it, interesting on Twitter this morning, our radio.com sports colleague Ross Tucker floated this. He said, if, in fact, the MRI comes back and it says that Mahomes is going to miss more than the three-week minimum that they know for now, that Colin Kaepernick would be an absolutely ideal fit with Andy Reid. And, in fact, Andy Reid had hired the former Nevada coach as an assistant consultant to come in at one point to help him diversify and modernize his offense. So there, it's already a near-perfect place for him. Do you concur?
Yes. I mean, guys, I wrote the column last week that the Bears should sign Colin Kaepernick, and an overwhelming majority of people who read it, you know, sent likes and compliments and whatever. But then, of course, the other side of the spectrum comes out of the woodwork, yes. And I've wasted a fair amount of time trying to be polite to those people this week. which is the appropriate thing to do. I'm not, you know, complaining about that. But somebody has to explain how a guy who is clearly in the top 25 of NFL quarterback prospects has been unemployed for 2.5 years now, when there's been at least 65 to 90 that have been employed. And so I don't know that the Chiefs have any more, you know, that Clark Hunt has any more of an appetite for it than any other 31 owners. I think it's wrong. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ripping off your fans by not doing the most you can do to be the best you can be at the most important position on the field. But it is the tack this league, these 32 owners have taken. And so while it would make sense, I wouldn't just automatically assume that they would go ahead and do it.
The other Frank, who always comes out on Fridays, is here now for his turn. Frank in Lakeview, you're on the Score with Hub.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there's going to be so much Kansas City stuff before you got to me, but this is really about scouting, I guess. What were they not seeing about Mahomes when he was, you know, in college that caused so many people, including yourself, to be hesitant about him? Or the flip side of the question would be, what did they see that caused them to be hesitant about Mahomes? What was wrong with the scouting?
Well, Frank, and by the way, Frank, you're not the other Frank to me. You're all my Franks. thank you for calling. It's a great question, and it, because there's a bit of a misnomer being bandied about with Mahomes the last couple of weeks, that this gives me a chance to set straight. Two things. Number one, it was a gimmick offense, and even though there's now a team in the NFL playing something similar, Kingsbury's air raid offense isn't the exact same thing now, but quarterbacks out of, quote, gimmick or all pass offenses or pass first offenses had never made it in the NFL. There wasn't one, you know, who had been any good. Mahomes is literally the first. Now you got Gardner Minshew doing some nice things in Jacksonville, but he hasn't exactly arrived, you know, the way that Mahomes has, and we'll see what Kyler Murray becomes. But at that time, it was a fact that these guys didn't play well in the NFL. The other one, and this is kind of this misnomer, all of a sudden I'm hearing these people talking about how, you know, Mahomes hasn't been quite as good the last few weeks because his ankle has not allowed him to move around and come out of the pocket and run the football. He doesn't run the football. He is not nearly the athlete that Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson are. He's not a bad athlete, but he's not that type of quarterback. You know, he can extend plays in the pocket, but he's not a guy who's going to come out and be effective running down the field. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it was another, you know, mark on the scouting report. Now, the flip side of it, though, is that I think everybody knew this. His arm talent is otherworldly. And the closest to it that I've ever seen is Brett Favre. I think Favre and Mahomes' arms are, in all the years I've been doing it, a league above everybody else's. But he did not always show the accuracy or the ability to make these incredible plays from awkward positions. And that is athleticism. It's a different kind of athleticism. Mm-hmm. So some of that was still unknown when he was coming out of school.
This segment is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. See how simple losing weight can be with Nutrisystem. The meals come to your door, you eat the food, and lose the weight. Order at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. Southside, here is John on the Score with Hub Arkish.
Hey, Hub, a quick question for you. Something I've noticed with the Bears is it looks like the weapons aren't as explosive as we thought. Tariq Cohen isn't getting open as much and isn't doing quite as much. Robinson and Gabriel have been great, but the tight ends haven't been as effective. Anthony Miller hasn't gotten open as much. And while I like David Montgomery, even when he runs, it seems like he doesn't have that last gear, like, to be explosive. And I think that, along with the offensive line and then with Mitch's troubles, I think it's kind of been this perfect storm, right? And then the league always adjusts once they've seen the offense. But I really think that the weapons just aren't getting open. Some of those mismatches just don't seem to be there. Are you seeing the same thing, or maybe I'm just reading too much into it?
Well, you know, John, I think there are games where people are all over Trubisky and claiming that they, from their TVs, are seeing open receivers, and they're really not correct in that. You never know, particularly against zone defenses, when there's backs that have dropped into coverage and are trying to, you know, game you into making a throw into a dangerous area. So I don't think that there's been, you know, receivers running open that Trubisky has been missing. However, I also am not going to, you know, I think the extension of what you're saying here is, well, we overrated that talent. No, I don't think so. I think the problem is the Bears don't have a running game. Now, you can decide who you want to blame that on, whether it's the offensive line, the running backs, or the coaches. I believe it's all three, and you spread it around and you get it fixed. But when other teams, when defenses know you cannot run the football, they don't have to commit extra people to stop it. That allows them to drop extra people into coverage, even when they're playing man, and that makes it a lot more difficult for these receivers to find open seams in zones or to separate in coverage when there's a safety over the top, even if there's a corner playing man on you.
So, wasn't this always a pass-first offense? Wasn't the idea to use all this, the fun horizontal schematic stuff to find open guys, get the lead, and then run to win the game?
Well, I think it was, you know, there are some people who believe, we used to say you establish the run to set up the pass. Some believe you establish the pass to set up the run with this, but at the end of the day, the other teams running this, the Chiefs, the Eagles, are pretty much middle of the road or top half of the league in run-pass ratio in terms of having balance. And so, you know, you're right that there is this idea that, especially with some of the West Coast concepts that it uses with a lot of the short controlled passing and the two-step drops, it's all about, you know, forcing the defense to respect it and opening space for the running game. But then if you can't step in and run the ball effectively, at some point people stop worrying about it and they commit more people to stop in the pass.
We've got more coming with Hub, but we're going to do another bank of calls. It can be you next, 312-644-6767. On Fridays, he belongs to you, and he will continue to do so for another segment. Keep it here. Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This segment is brought to you by Ameristar Casino East. The new sports book at Ameristar East Chicago has all the action, real-time odds, and the best prop bets, plus with fast 24-hour betting kiosks. There's no waiting, so grab the crew and come to the new sports book at Ameristar East Chicago. Must be 21 to learn more. See the My Choice Center. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Hub Arkush is with us, and we are discussing the Chicago Bears and the NFL, or more specifically, you are, via the phone lines. So we continue. Oak Park is the next stop. Chuck is on The Score with Hub.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Chuck.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Fine.
Good, thanks.
Good. Okay, my main question that I have right now is, has the lack of offensive line and game planning caused for us to take a step back as far as the outlook of how this offense is supposed to work? Because what I was seeing last night when we were watching KC, you see them come out with double tight ends. They work the trickery. They hand it off to the fullback underneath, and it opens up later on in the game more options for them to look downfield, to even see different running options, because they were able to, you know, get them going on that first play. Is our lack of having that offensive line and having, you know, just the ability and trust in our quarterback now caused us to regress and not be able to have plays like that open up for us to then open up a bigger game plan?
You know, Chuck, I get everybody's frustration and impatience, and I'm not saying it's impatience. It's week seven now, the sixth week of the season. But, you know, actually that Chiefs team last night had as banged up an offensive line as they've had in the Andy Reid era. And that offensive line you saw last night probably wasn't as good as what the Bears will put on Sunday. I think, you know, when they're healthy and they're 100%, they are better. But and I get your question. I don't agree that this offense has regressed. It just hasn't gotten better. It hasn't developed. It hasn't become what everybody hoped and believed it would be when Matt Nagy got here. This is not the Kansas City offense. This is Matt Nagy's version of the Kansas City offense. And I think what we're all forgetting is that this team was 3-3 last year, and a horrible loss to the Dolphins coming off the bye. And you know, as hard as it is, we're going to have to be a little more patient, wait a little longer, and see what this is going to be. This is a pretty dramatic change with Kyle Long now done for the year and this kid Rashad Coward stepping in. Charles Leno, through five games, has been a bigger part of the problem than Kyle Long, and I don't think anybody at Hallis Hall disputes that. And he's got to get his act together, and we'll see, you know, what the bye week has done for him. So, you know, you've got those issues. Trey Burton has never been 100%. You know, Taylor Gabriel finally came on, had the game of his career, and then sat down for 2 weeks. So rather than make any blanket statements about it, I want to give it a couple more weeks. The thing, guys, that absolutely blew me away was everybody ready to write off the Bears defense after the London game. You know, and I get that Akeem Hicks is important, but you got to look at how much all-pro talent is still there, how deep they are, and realize that since Khalil Mack arrived, they've had two bad games, really bad games. One was in Miami last year coming out of the bye when they gave up over 500 yards, and that was the game Mack got hurt in, and the other one was London. Other than that, nobody's gotten anywhere near 400 yards on them. Nobody's put up a bunch of points on them. You got to remember the Patriots even had two special teams touchdowns. And so, you know, the Chargers are 2-4. The Cowboys are 3-3. The Eagles are 3-3. The Rams are 3-3. We have to take a step back on this. And I know nobody wants to do that, but and it's going to be another couple weeks at least, because whatever you see from Mitch Trubisky Sunday can't be 100% of Mitch Trubisky with him playing in that harness on that non-throwing shoulder. And even though they won't admit it, they don't want him running around the football field and taking shots on that shoulder. So it's just going to take a little while longer before it can give you better of these kind of big picture answers that we're looking for.
In Lafayette, Indiana, this is Seth. He's on Sports Radio 670 with Hub.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Fine.
Good, Seth.
Good. Hey, Hub, pertaining to that defense, I was just wondering, with Akeem down, what you were expecting out of Roquan Smith now that he's had a little more time versus, like, the first few weeks Roquan or what we saw in London Roquan. Thank you.
You know, Seth, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's another little bit of a false narrative going on out there. People should go back and turn on the tape, as painful as it is. He wasn't the special Roquan that we've seen a few times that we're expecting, but he wasn't that awful against the Raiders. He played the same way everybody else did. The defense came up flat. They had a bad game. We have no more clarity today than we did 3 weeks ago, you know, what's going on with Roquan. And maybe that's appropriate because it's his personal business. But as far as how it's going to affect him on the football field, I'm going to be very surprised if you don't see Roquan and 10 other guys flying all over the place Sunday against New Orleans. Now, that can be dangerous against New Orleans, you know, so we'll see what happens. But I am not worried about him yet. What we do know is that whatever these issues are, they're not physical. I mean, he's 100% physical, and so I think you have every reason to expect that he's going to continue on what appeared to be a Pro Bowl / All-Pro type path before this started. You know, short of whatever the issues are, which, again, may not be my business, but not knowing him, it's hard for me to kind of evaluate where he's going.
To Mike in St. Charles on the Score.
Hi, Hub. My question kind of revolves around the ground game. We don't have a back that can get a 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2. We don't have a fullback. We don't have a back that can reliably catch out of the backfield. And I know why Ryan Nall was put on the practice squad. We have all the other backs, but I would think he would be a good solution for what, you know, to fill in those roles. He can catch out of the backfield. He can.
Ass hurts.
So that's my question.
Go Bears!
But obviously, Bernsey doesn't like your question.
I don't think he's a fan. No. You know what, Hub? We're gonna mute our microphones real quick. I'm going to check with Dan and see what he really thinks about this. We'll get back to you, but you go ahead and knock this one down.
It sounded like Dan just redid his medical procedure. So, By the way, welcome
they
to the
found
club.
Ryan
I, yeah, I had my gift at 50 and 60. So, you know, guys, I happen to agree with Mike, to be honest with you. I don't think Ryan Nall is the answer to their problems. I do think that Ryan Nall is probably one of the four best running backs under contract with the Bears right now. I don't know what more he can do to prove it. He's been their best in two preseasons, not as a fullback. I know people want to go there. That's kind of an interesting thing. We've had this fullback thing come up a couple times now this morning because the Chiefs, during the development of this offense, had one of the best fullbacks in the league in Anthony Sherman and always carried a fullback. So, again, this is where I try and distinguish between what Matt Nagy decided to do this year by not re-signing Michael Burton. And you know, maybe that was partially in response to the problems with the running game, which he acknowledged on a couple occasions last year. The coaches had to evaluate what they were doing too. So this stuff is all up in the air. But as far as Ryan Nall, I don't agree that the Bears don't have a back who can go third and short. I think that, again, has been scheme and offensive line problems. I encourage everybody to go back and watch the four starts that Cordarrelle Patterson had at running back for the New England Patriots last year. The man is 6'2", 228 pounds, and he does not go down on first or second contact. The problem is that, you know, you go all the way back to the Packers game. Kenny Clark, who's one of the best nose tackles in the league, just blew that play up. That's going to happen once in a while. And for the most part on this short yardage stuff, they haven't been able to block it appropriately. Or maybe it was the wrong play call. I don't know. But again, it's a scheme and a system thing. It's not these isolated instances that you want to look at. I love the idea of using Cordarrelle Patterson that way. So, you know, two different issues. I don't think Ryan Nall is necessarily the answer to that problem, but the more I watch this running game struggle, the more I'd love to see this kid get his shot because I think he's earned it. But apparently the coaches don't agree.
This segment is brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And the bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Watch the Chicago Wolves take on the Rockford IceHogs tonight on My50 Chicago. And get out to Allstate Arena tomorrow and Sunday to see the Wolves battle the IceHogs and the Milwaukee Admirals. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Greg and Valpo, you're on the Score with Hub.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I understand that everybody's starting to realize that the offensive line is a big part of the problem, but I don't think that they quite understand that it is a major part of the problem because you have an inexperienced quarterback who can't compensate when somebody misses a blocking assignment. I don't know how many times I watched Kyle Long and James Daniels after a play standing there with their hands down to the side wondering what they were supposed to do. But my major question is, do you believe that a healthy and experienced Coward is better for our offense right now than injured Kyle Long? Thank you.
Yeah, two things. One that I meant to mention to a previous questioner, and you just brought it up again. And again, just trying to straighten out what's real and what's not. The pass protection really hadn't been a problem until Oakland. Pass protection had been better than average in the first four games. It was the run blocking where they were struggling. Again, it hasn't been the worst offensive line I've ever seen. They're not blocking the run well. They were actually doing a pretty nice job. I mean, you go back and watch the Minnesota tape, and when Chase Daniel came in, he had no problems whatsoever, and they weren't giving up many sacks. And Mitch hasn't been running, so that wasn't really the issue. Now, in Oakland, it all broke down. In answer to your question, because Rashad Coward is a converted defensive lineman who's only been playing offensive line for a year and a half, and who, to my knowledge, was not taking reps at guard until a few weeks ago, I certainly didn't see any of it in Bourbonnais, I can't tell you if he's better. I can tell you that it's promising because certainly a healthy physical specimen with a nasty attitude, which Rashad does have, is better than a guy trying to play hurt and clearly unable to get the job done on a consistent basis. So, you know, we have every reason to hope that it will be better. But the flip side of that is that prior to the injuries starting 3 years, four seasons ago, Kyle Long was one of, if not the best guards in football. Is Rashad Coward going to be that? I can't even begin to guess at that until we get some tape on him.
Back to St. Charles and Robin with Hub on the Score.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Connor.
Hey, Hub, hey Robin.
Hub, the Bears have 2 second-round picks next year. Do you think Leonard Williams from the Jets is worth trading one of those second-round picks for, given they can work out an extension for him? It seems like a great short-term solution for the Hicks injury, plus pairing him with a healthy Hicks and Eddie Goldman next year could really provide something special on that D-line. Thanks.
Thank you.
No, only because I think Bilal Nichols has the chance to be really, really good. And I think Roy Robertson-Harris already is really, really good. I think I mentioned this once before and didn't go back and do my homeworks, but I'll bring it up again. I've been under the impression that Roy Robertson-Harris was free to cash in at the end of this year, but now my understanding with that contract, Connor, you and I talked about this.
Yeah, we did. Restricted free agent.
Yeah, he's going to be restricted again next year. So, you know, when you look at the wealth of talent there, you know, with Nichols and Robertson-Harris and even Nick Williams, who's looked good, and Akeem should come back fine. I think it's going to take longer than 8 weeks. I think this week 15 stuff is silly if the injury is what I think it is. And again, this is my only real bitch with Matt Nagy. He's honest with us about, you know, when players are hurt and when they're practicing and what's likely and doubtful and questionable, but they never tell us what the injury actually was. You know, they give us a body part, which is, I guess, better than upper or lower in hockey. So without knowing the specifics of, you know, the confirmation I would like to know that elbow was dislocated or something, can't guess at it, but I'm off the subject now. That's to me, Leonard Williams can be a great player, has not consistently been a great player with the Jets, is worth a second-round pick, but not to the Bears in an area of strength. If they were going to deal one of those picks, I'd be on the phone with the Bengals right now, and I'd have A.J. Green in a Bears uniform in a couple weeks. I'd be on the phone with the Redskins right now, and I'd have Trent Williams in a Bears uniform in a couple weeks. So I'm not ruling out that they could do something with one or both of those picks that could help them, you know, maybe chase a title this year. But those are probably the three best names you're going to hear now that Jalen Ramsey has been dealt. And of the three, Leonard Williams would probably interest me the most, not because he's not a great football player, but because I don't see the need.
This segment's brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. Papa John's is giving you a free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get a second pizza of equal or lesser value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That's promo code FREEPIZZADAY. Hub, outstanding stuff. What do you think about this game?
You know, guys, we haven't mentioned it yet. I don't know if you've been talking about it this morning, but I've got two picks for this game. We make our picks early in the week, and they're in print, and I never go off the picks. And because the Saints, to me, are the best team in the NFC right now, mm-hmm. I can't justify picking the Bears over them, and I picked the Saints 16-13. However, that was before I knew that Alvin Kamara was reported to have a high ankle sprain last Sunday, did not practice Wednesday, did not practice yesterday. If he doesn't practice today, and even if he's limited in practice, I think he doesn't go Sunday. And if Alvin Kamara doesn't go, I think the Bears win the football game.
There you have it. Hub, thank you.
Thanks, Hub.
All right, guys, take care.
That is Hub, and that means it is now time for the Midday Midway. I have a story out of Mexico that sounds like a Bruckheimer movie broke out.
Okay.
I mean, it is just crazy. And also, I have a new fall activity in which I would like to participate.
It looks awesome. I'll do a movie review. Saw Joker finally. We'll talk a little bit about that. Okay. We'll talk about it with Lawrence as well. The Midday Midway is on the way. Bernstein McKnight, success.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Give me the score.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Midday Midway is brought to you by Fisher Oven Roast. Roasted nuts, never fried, nothing to hide. We contrasted what Mark Helfrich said yesterday about the Bears offense with what he said in June at OTAs about the Bears offense.
Not great, Bob.
No, it's not great, and I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the lowered expectations. They're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed now to say, yeah, you know, it's game to game and complimentary football and help the defense. No, this was supposed to be really good, and it's gotten worse. And we've got to maintain the standard that was set for this Bears offense. I'm sorry.
Certainly not allowed to do it while also saying that your quarterback is healthy, that Mitch is going to be out there and playing. And if he is, he needs to be healthy. That means the same standards are there for this Bears offense. They need to be held accountable. You're right. So I took a trip to the movie theaters yesterday and saw Joker. I know it's been out for a little while, but I'd been reluctant to go see it. I'd kind of been swallowed in some of the mythos around it. You know, the trailer came out and it looked like a certain thing. And I can tell you this, it is certainly not that. It's not a glorified show of a man's descent into, you know, madness and justifying any sort of his, you know, what have you, his madness, his insanity, his murder, all that kind of stuff. I did think, though, that Joaquin Phoenix is probably should be in a consideration to win something for this. But the whole movie as a film, as a standalone, non-DC universe related thing, just dares to show over and over again this brutal scene. And I don't mean that necessarily in violence, but in terms of the weirdness, the awkwardness, the grossness of it, the madness of it.
The grotesque.
It just shows you this and then says, now wait, everybody looking? Okay, we're going to do it even worse in the next scene. Now watch, everybody watch me. We're going to do it again worse the next time around. And there's just something, I don't know, like kind of sophomoric about it. I kind of expected a better representation of the story some. And it just weirded me out the entire time. So if that was Todd Phillips' intent to just kind of get guys like me to go watch a movie that would just weird them out and set them on edge the entire time, he did that. And I mean that. Like if that was the intent, so be it. Yeah, you got that done.
I have no interest. I have even less interest now after your review.
Yeah, I mean, comic book-wise, I mean, tying into the story, the whole Batman thing, the Waynes are involved. You know that from the trailer. I don't want to give too many spoilers away or anything, even though it has been out for a little while. Waynes, plural, there's involvement there, and that's fine. I do think, though, as a nod to like The Killing Joke, which is one of the original Joker origin stories, it comes up a little short of that. But Phoenix is just, I mean, he is, you can't take your eyes off him. It's really pretty incredible.
I did not expect that we'd have two midday midway stories involving someone named Joaquin, but we do. Mexican security forces engage in a prolonged shootout with heavily armed suspected cartel members in Sinaloa State on Thursday in an operation that ensnared a son of imprisoned drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. Mexican federal troops had initially detained Ovidio Guzman Lopez, 28, in the northern city of Culiacan. And remember, we talked to, it was a Cody Decker, we talked to the former big leaguer, now also a colleague of ours at Radio.com Sports. He played in Culiacan. Played in the Mexican League in Culiacan.
And kind of mentioned a little dangerous.
Yeah, a little dangerous, but actually not, because that's where everybody kind of knew. They just ran things there. It was less dangerous there because it was not disputed territory. Mexico State Security Secretary Cristobal Castillo called it a federally coordinated operation, but Security Minister Alfonso Durazo has told Reuters that he was later released, saying the decision was taken to protect lives. Now, what this is damage control for the Federales lost. Suspected members of the powerful Sinaloa drug cartel appeared to overpower the security forces during the shootout, who later suspended operations. Armored vehicles with military-grade machinery exchange heavy artillery against federal troops in Culiacan. The shootout forced many residents to flee in panic. Others remained locked in their houses while outside. Intense gun battles throughout the day. Residents had been asked to stay inside. Schools have been closed until further notice. Images on social media appeared to show the terror unleashed on the inhabitants of Culiacan. Plumes of black smoke billowed on the horizon while on the ground mothers coddled their children while searching for cover behind parked cars. Durazo said government operations had been suspended following a violent back and forth between the federal entities and criminal groups. Said law enforcement officers and members of the Mexican National Guard were conducting a routine patrol when they were attacked by people inside a home. The patrol unit fought back and took control of the house, finding four occupants inside. One of the occupants was indeed Ovidio Guzman Lopez.
Oh my God.
But other members of an organized criminal group arrived on scene with more firepower than authorities. Violent attacks erupted in different parts of the city. So this is how they phrased it, with, quote, the purpose of safeguarding the security and tranquility of the Culiacan society, the officials of the Cabinet of Security agreed to suspend said actions.
Get the hell out of there.
No, you were overpowered by better equipped forces is what happened there. And like you say, just looking at the images here, it looks like a Jerry Bruckheimer movie.
Bad Boys 2. Yep. It looks like Bad Boys 2. I think it's Michael Bay directing it, but it's a Bruckheimer film, which, you know, explosions and lack of plot, as opposed to Bruckheimer, which is explosion and some plot. It's really nice. Did you know, maybe you knew this, maybe I'm too young and I just didn't know this before, a new book on the life of Janis Joplin is out. Holly George Warren wrote it. It's called Janis, Her Life in Music. Janis Joplin was bullied in high school. She went to Thomas Jefferson High School with dreams of escaping Port Arthur, Texas, and was consistently ridiculed and kind of bullied by a particular football player at Thomas Jefferson High School, a star linebacker on the team, Jimmy Johnson.
What?
Jimmy Johnson. And it's in the book that he just...
Jimmy Johnson's bullying forced Janis Joplin into a life of booze and drugs,
killing her. Or something like that. And it's not the first time it's been mentioned. Johnson actually mentioned in a book that he was featured in or about him and didn't like her at all. I had no idea that Jimmy Johnson...
I was going to guess Tommy Lee Jones.
And Janis Joplin were in a feud all the way up until her death at age 27. And I guess the feud still continues. He still doesn't like her very much. Like being around her in high school.
I mean, she's been dead for 40 years, right?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of pro Janis Joplin. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I mentioned her. My brother-in-law, the musician, just thinks she's one of the single most overrated people in the history of rock music. Because we were doing like the Mount Rushmore of female rock vocalists.
Oh, yeah.
Don't say Janis Joplin. Do not say Janis Joplin. Okay, fine. Whatever, dude. I don't feel that strongly.
Apparently.
I guess we'll go
the hell out.
Janis Joplin.
Janis. Out of the goofball. All right, I'm in for this. Usually this time of year, I'm doing a story about Punkin' Chunkin'.
Almost always.
One of the giant cannons that shoots a pumpkin. You know, they have one out at Bankston's farm, you know, blowing the pumpkins as far as they can out into the water. There's something new here. This is from Middlefield, Connecticut. Apple cannons. John Lyman of Lyman Orchards brought in apple cannons so visitors can load them up, take aim at targets across a field. We watched some video on this. These are these big-ass cannons.
Yeah!
It's just firing apples that disintegrate when they hit some of these flat metal targets, like a scarecrow. There's distance range finders there.
They got some yards to them.
I am in. I am in for shooting an apple cannon. The sound is great. It looks immensely satisfying. They said the apples, they've got all sorts of apples that are not going to be sellable. There's no cash value to some of it, so they figure why not have, what do they call it, agritainment? So this is one form of agritainment. My son and I discovered something almost this good.
What?
The ninth hole at Robert Black.
Okay.
It's a Chicago public course. Great. It's sort of our home course. The ninth hole, tee box, there is an apple tree. And some days at Robert Black get really slow. It's public course. It's people playing in front of you. So we're on the tee for a while. And we realize that is a really healthy apple tree, producing a lot of apples. And there's squirrels over there enjoying them. There were apples on the tree. There were apples on the ground. So we decided it was time, while we were waiting, to tee up apples.
Oh, nice.
And hit them at each other. So first we started hitting them at each other. And that was fun. And then it was 1, 2, 3. Hit them and try to make the apples collide in the air off the tee.
That's the next natural step.
Next thing.
Of course.
Then it was aim them over the fence into Warren Park and see what other things we could hit by bombing away with our drivers having teed up apples. So if you get that opportunity, I don't know if the tree is still producing apples, but if you are playing Robert Black course in the city of Chicago on the far north side, do that because it's immensely satisfying. Time for your chance. Oh, sorry.
That's the midday. We do it every day here on the Bernstein McKnight Show. Now, give the people some things.
Sorry. How about $1,000 cash? The text keyword is taco. text TACO to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is TACO to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant this hour will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Let's find out all we can from the man who sounds like the New Orleans Saints and a man whose name Siri got right, actually pronouncing it this morning, Bobby Hebert. He's next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.